presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. The sun has come up. That means that God's covenant is still intact. And I pray today that you will know that He is faithful, that He is true, and that He is working in your heart and in my life. So thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. 102.3 is another broadcast signal, WWBC 1510 AM. All sorts of different locations. Wherever you're at in the county, you can get signals slightly better in some places than in others. So check that out and make sure that you're getting the strongest signal possible. And so we're coming up here close to the end of the week. I'll be going and picking up kids from youth camp tomorrow. And so if you would pray for us that we would have a safe journey, that would be greatly appreciated. Just realized I hadn't had my paper here with me all this week, and so I haven't mentioned our sponsors. And so let me say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, also to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, and Jits Concrete. Thank you to all of those people for their faithfulness and helping to bring out this broadcast to you. So I don't have the sheet of paper with me, so I can't give you their phone numbers, but I've mentioned it a long time before, or a number of times before. If you don't have their number and you would like it, you can give us a call, 454-4263, and we will let you know, because you want to make sure your AC is working. You don't want to be outside doing concrete work or block work if you are not skilled at it this time of the year. And if you've got an electrical problem, you don't want that to be a reality in your life. So give us a call. There's three companies there that can be a blessing to you and meet practical needs in your life. So we're going to go back to Isaiah, the 25th chapter today. We're going to be finishing up this chapter today. But there's one more truth that I want to share with you. And it says for in verse number 10, we're going to look at verses 10, 11, and 12. For on this mountain, the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him, as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap. And he will spread out his hands in their midst as a swimmer reaches out to swim, and he will bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands, the fortress of the high fort of your walls. He will bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, down to the dust. Wow. And when I read that, I mean, I get a very vivid picture of what the prophet is saying here. The gym that my wife and I belong to, it has a swimming feature. And so when I'm in the pool and I'm swimming to try and get my exercise, get my heart rate up and things like that, this verse gives me a picture of what that is like. Now you have to understand, biologically, I am equipped to sink like a rock. I do not float well. When I was in college, you had to pass a swimming proficiency exam. You had to be able to tread water for a minimal amount of time. I think it was like 15 minutes that you had to be able to tread water. And there were people out there, and they just looked like they were having the time of their life, and they were just moving their arms gently back and forth, and their legs, they're just kind of lackadaisically flipping their feet every once in a while. and they're just staying there like their feet are resting on the bottom of the pool. And I tried to do that, and I was just sinking. And so I was a lot more active in the treading process than what they were. And when the instructor, you know, finished the evaluation, they said, "Well, you passed, but you don't swim well, do you?" And it's like, "No, I don't swim that great." And so when my wife and I think it was a year and a half ago, we got to go on a cruise, and we had gone down to Mexico and Belize and Honduras and Grand Cayman. It was a great vacation. And when we got to Honduras, there was a swimming area not too far from the cruise ship, and I floated, and it was like, wow, this is incredible. I'm not sinking like a rock here. I'm able to just lay back, and the salinity of the water just caused me to be able to float. And it's like, that is great. Nothing had changed inside of me, but the water itself was of a different molecular makeup. It says, I can support you in this. I can support you in this. So here in verse number 10, it says, "For on this mountain, the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap." One of the study Bibles that I looked up said that this was the place where there was manure and water. It was the waste treatment plant, if you will. And so when they would bring that, they didn't have sewer pipes and septic tanks and all of that. And so they would haul all of that waste, whether it's animal waste or biological waste, they would haul it to a certain area. They would water it down, and then they would put straw in there to absorb all of that. And so can you imagine what a horrific smell that would be? What a terrible job. You know, I've heard people say that, you know, being a shepherd was one of the worst jobs. And if you were a servant in a household, being the one that washed off the master's feet, that was one of the worst jobs. I'm telling you right now, I would take either one of those jobs over the person that's having to mingle the straw in this waste area. I don't want to be doing that. I don't like messing with septic tanks. I don't like messing with sewers. I've had to do it. And so I can tell you, I don't like doing it. I don't like it at all. But this verse says that God is going to trample down this enemy of his plan and of his will, as the same way that they would cause the straw to penetrate into that other stuff. It would be so trampled down that it would become one with all of that mess. And I just want you to know today, whatever battle you might be facing, God's going to crush it under his feet. He's going to triumph over it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry how ugly it is. Don't worry how smelly it is. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you do, don't try and clean yourself up on your own. Don't buy into the devil's lie to where he says, "Well, once you get victory over this, then you can come to me." No, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, we cannot cleanse ourselves from our sin apart from him. We need to allow God to do the cleanup process for us. And so allow him to triumph over your enemies. Allow him to get such a vanquishing of your foes that they won't be recognizable anymore. Now it describes how active God is in our lives. It says, "He will spread out his hands in their midst as a swimmer reaches out to swim." And so this is why I was using those swimming stories earlier, is because God is not passively floating around on the surface and just going wherever the waves take him. He wants to be actively engaged in hands-on ministry in your life and in the hearts of the people who are trying to destroy you. Remember, the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. Proverbs describes people who lay awake at night plotting ways that they can take advantage of other people. We live in an evil and corrupt world, but God is going to ultimately triumph. Okay? There was a guy by the name of Naboth that had a vineyard. And the king wanted that vineyard, and Jezebel plotted, and there was a lot of lies that were told about Naboth, and they ended up killing him. And she did all of that so that Ahab could possess Naboth's vineyard. But when he went down to take possession of it, God had spoken to Elijah and said, "Go meet Ahab in Naboth's vineyard." And when Elijah spoke, Ahab thought in less than flattering terms about him. But I will say this, Ahab repented to the point that God said to Elijah, "Have you seen how Ahab has repented?" Now, he later repented his repentance, if you will. He changed his mind, and all of those things that were spoken about him ended up coming to pass just the same as Elijah had declared. But today, I want you to know that God is not just sitting around and inactive, but he describes his activity in people's lives as being in the midst of them. How about we pray that God gets right in the middle of the situations that we're facing here in America? That he would get right into the middle of our physical infirmities, that he would get right in the middle of our financial situations, that he would get right in the middle of our unsaved loved ones' lives. Let's not relegate God to the perimeter. Let's say, God, get involved in the middle. And it describes as a swimmer reaches out to swim. As a swimmer reaches out to swim. And so back before my shoulder surgery, which was almost a year ago, I knew that I was experiencing some pain there, and I thought I just needed to stretch it out. And so when I would go, I would be swimming, and I mean, I would be reaching. I was almost lunging out of the water, trying to get my arms to go further. And remember, I sink if I'm not moving. And so the way to compensate for that was just to go as fast as I could. And I remember that there was a guy, and he was swimming in another lane. And he said, "You know, if you would change your technique, you will find that you will swim better." And he began to show me some more effective ways to swim. But see, I was looking to get the most out of each stroke. Now, I was exhausted. I took lots of breaks and everything. But what can you appreciate the fact that God is not wanting to just be positioned in the middle of your conflict, but he's looking to reach his hand out like a swimmer who's looking to gain the longest stroke that he can. And he says, "I'm going to put my hand right in the middle of their activities." Now, there's two things that it says here that God is looking to mess with. Two things that when his hand is involved, he's looking to deal with two issues. The first one is pride. And it says, "And he will bring down their pride." He will bring down their pride. There is nothing as humbling as seeing someone who is better than you. It is very humbling to see someone who can do what you are so proud of, and he can do it better with you. These people were proud of their ability to stick their hand in other people's situations and mess with it, only to find that God was now putting his hand into the midst of their situation, and he was dealing with their pride. What? You see, almost all of us have a blind spot. We tend not to see it in our own selves. But I would ask you this. Is there any area where pride has taken up secret residence and maybe you've been blinded to see it? Today, God's got his hand in our lives and in our situation because he's looking to uproot pride, not just in our enemies, but in us as well. I will never forget the night. It was a Sunday night, and God spoke and he said, Bob, I have to deal with your pride just the same as I deal with everybody else's pride. I hate it. And so he wants to remove that surgically if necessary. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I want that grace. I don't want to go around boasting about myself. I want to go around boasting about God. If you've got pride you have not surrendered yet, then I can tell you this, God's hand is somewhere in that situation. And at some point in time, he's going to put his finger on it and say, I want to deal with this, and I want to deal with this now. Most of the time, we don't want to deal with something until it is causing us inconvenience or discomfort. God is looking for us to deal with it as quickly as possible. I would rather deal with things when they are very small rather than wait until they get very big. My comparison to that is I would rather deal with a baby alligator than I would a 14-foot alligator. Both of them could probably kill me. One of them could do a lot of damage, but there's one of them. I think that, you know, if it was dealt with young enough, I think I could, I think I'd be okay. I think I could manage to, you know, equip my hands with things that I'm not going to get injured too badly. But that 14 footer, I don't think I want to mess with him. And so God wants us to surrender our pride to him. It's not just the pride of our enemies, but it's our pride as well. Isn't it amazing that we want to surrender all of our failures to God, but we want to keep all of our successes to ourselves? If you want to praise God for something, praise him for what he has enabled you to do. Praise him. Yeah. Thank him for the healings. Thank him for the salvations. Thank him for all of that. But also thank him for the doors that he's opened for you. Thank you. Thank him for the wisdom that he's granted to you. Thank him for the abilities that he's placed in your hands, the divine appointments that he has given to you. Praise God for the things that he has helped you to achieve. One of the things that I've said for years is that God sets his people up to succeed. The devil will set you up to fail, but God will set you up to succeed. And so when we succeed, we've got to make sure that we don't touch the glory that belongs to God. There, Tommy Barnett says, don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. Don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. In other words, don't steal from God the tithe that he's declared that is holy and that belongs to him. And don't touch the glory that belongs to him. And don't touch the creatures. Don't get so wrapped up in the creation that you offend the creator. Okay? And so I just want to encourage you, don't allow pride to find any evidence. It is one of the seven deadly sins. It's mentioned in there twice. God hates pride. And he said, so I'm going to reach in. And he says, I'm going to stretch it out there like a swimmer. You know, with the Olympics coming up, I guarantee you they are going to be swimming for all they're worth. The other thing that he mentions is he says, I'm going to bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands. When I read that, I think of an illusionist, a magician, where they're trying to get you to believe one thing, and they are actually doing something else. They're doing it to deceive. Now, illusionists and magicians, they're doing it for entertainment value. These people were doing it for bondage purposes. Okay, and so God says, I'm going to stretch my hand into their midst. I'm going to, if you will, pull back the curtain so that you can see the way, the machinations, all of the workings that are going on behind the scenes. I'm going to expose all of their deception, all of their tricks, all of their illusions. I'm going to do it all so that you can see exactly what is going on. You know, it would be a great thing if the scales of the eyes of the American people were opened to see the spiritual warfare that is really going on. We need God involved in our situation. We need him exposing pride. We need him exposing deception. We don't want to be left out there on our own. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched one of those magicians and even watched it in slow motion to see what they are doing. Now, sometimes I can tell what they are going on or what's going on, but on other times I look at it and I see that I've got no idea how they pulled that off. In the spirit realm, it is equally as deceiving. The devil wants to keep us blinded to the way that he does things. Listen, if the devil told you the cost of the things that he wants to tempt you to do, you would never do them. And so he deals with the benefit without ever disclosing the cost. I was in a retailer here not too long ago, and there was a guy that was in there, and he was describing he was on the phone. I wasn't listening to his conversation. He was interrupting my checkout process, but he was describing the deception that had gone on with a certain business in the community where he did not feel like they were treating him forthrightly. And so think of it this way. The devil has to lie in order to get you to believe the things that he has to say. And he is a very skilled liar. But please understand, he never has your best interest in mind. So when he tempts you with pride, understand it is not in your best interest. What is that pride going to cost you? It will cost you grace. He opposes the proud. You will find that God is standing there and he is not propelling you to success at that point in time, but he is standing in your way because he wants you to realize how desperately you need him. What does deception cost you? It costs you your integrity. It costs you your reputation. And sooner or later, you will pay the price to where no one will believe anything that comes out of your mouth. So those are things that it says God is going to deal with both of those things together. And it says the fortress of the high fort of your walls, he will bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground down to dust. And so when God's hand begins to get involved in your adversarial relationship, he's doing it not that you will have something to boast about. He's doing it so you will have something to glorify his name about. He is going to get the ultimate victory in that situation. Praise God. It's a short little chapter. It's only 25 verses, but it's got some great truths. It starts off, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, and your counsels are absolute truth. Those few principles. It goes on and it says, strong people will glorify you. And he wants the nations, the terrible nations, the nations that have gathered in opposition to Israel. He says, I'm gathering them, but I want them to come to that place where they have a wonderful, reverential awe of God. The reason is because when God is involved, he strengthens the poor, he strengthens the needy, and he gives relief to those who are oppressed. In verse 7, we talked about, or in verse number 8, that he will swallow up death and wipe away the tears from our faces. In verse number 9, we see that he is our God. We've waited for him. He will save us, and that we're supposed to be glad and we're supposed to be rejoicing. Verse number 11, the verse we focused on today, is that God wants to be right in the middle of our situation, and he wants his hand involved. And when he does, he's going to deal with pride, and he's going to deal with deception, because God, see, God, unlike the devil, God will tell you exactly the way it is. He says, this is the reward for obedience, and this is the consequence for disobedience. The problem that many people face right now is they don't want to come to intellectual honesty and come to grips with the reality that their rejection of God could have eternal consequences. Folks, I'm not here for my own entertainment value. I'm here to tell you that there are consequences. There's a tremendous reward. Heaven is the best of God's best for you and I. That is what God wants for each and every one of us. But if you don't want his best, his hand can get involved in the situation to where he will deal with our pride and he will deal with our deception. When I look at the book of Revelation, I see that everybody is going to declare that God is righteous and true in all of his ways. The New Testament makes it clear that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's do that today and not wait till tomorrow. Not wait till it's too late. Father, right now, we use our mouth to declare Jesus is not just Lord, he's my Lord. He's our Lord. And we bow our knee, God, to declare that you are worthy of praise and worthy of glory and worthy of honor. Lord, if there is any pride in our lives, would you uproot it in Jesus' name? If there's anything that is not of truth, remove it. Lord, deliver us from deception. Deliver us from deceiving spirits. Let us be known as the people of truth, spoken in love, in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.